friends, welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM, beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Today, this weekend, I'm at a wonderful UFO conference in Yelm, Washington, and if you have the chance, please come on down. Yelm is about a half hour outside of Olympia, Washington, or about an hour and a half from Seattle. And we have lots of really interesting people here, including Randy Kramer. I'm going to finish up Randy's interview here in a few minutes. We also have Michiko Hayashi, the director of the Emoto Peace Project, and Scott Maury just walked in. He's a fascinating gentleman with all kinds of unique perspectives on what's going on in the world. I always enjoy listening to Scott, very intelligent man. And Bob Sataikam also just walked in, too. Bob is the son of Bob Sataikam Sr., a famous Native American Indian rights activist who helped preserve salmon here in the Northwest. And we'll be talking about not only salmon, but also, more importantly, water, the importance of water for our planet with Michiko. The purpose of Out of This World Radio, of course, is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I wanted to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States, or you can email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington from April 12th to the 16th. Our website is galacticwisdomconference.com. And if you register between now and November 1st, The entire conference only costs $55. For details, just send me an email. In addition, this summer, from September 6th to the 12th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth since 2016, and it's an amazing place where you can meet Sasquatch, interact with the Telosians, the people of the Hollow Earth, and see UFOs flying in and out of the mountain all night long. It's an amazing place. One thing that I have to ask you, if you do come along on the trip, please bring organic white frosted cinnamon rolls. I get this request repeatedly from the Sasquatch. They love it up there. They can't get it up. There's no supermarkets available up in the woods where they are, and they love that. I could just see their mouths just chomping and all the white frosting going everywhere. So if you do have them, please bring them along. Every time I've left them out one evening at one place at Ascension Rock on Mount Shasta, by the next morning they're all gone, and I know they've had a big a huge party. And with that, I'd like to wrap up my wonderful interview here with Randy Kramer. Now, Randy's an amazing fellow. He'll have a seminar on psionics. Is that right? Did I pronounce it? Here in Yelm, he's an amazing fellow. And what time is your presentation tomorrow?
Oh, I'm forgetting. I think it's either 11 or 1. I can't remember now.
Good. Well, we happen to have a schedule here. We'll find it here and tell everyone. But Randy's an amazing fellow. I just asked him to come to my Galactic Wisdom Conference next year. So if you do miss him here in Yelm, you can come to Olympia, Washington next year and meet him in April. But he's an amazing fellow, and he's worth the drive to come down from 11 a.m. to 12 noon tomorrow on Saturday. And they've got you working again on Sunday. You're going to have
–
okay, good.
Okay. Overview tomorrow, and then we'll try and do something a little more. It'll be just an overview on Saturday, and I'll try and do something a little more substantive on Sunday.
Okay, great. And that Sunday is from 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon. Wonderful, wonderful. Randy, I'd love to have you wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Sure. Well, let's see. I guess the exciting news is my volume one of my memoirs is almost done. My editor is in the final stages. She's supposed to be getting back to me sometime after this weekend or this weekend to tell me what she thinks about what we're going to do for the final edit. I have some illustrators working on illustrations and some other images that I want to go into the book. So we are in the not quite the final stages, but the final stages of getting the book published. And so I will have some information about that on my website, which is www.earthcitizenconsulting.org. And people will be able to know. Certainly people will be able to look up my name on Amazon pretty soon. We haven't got the ISBN number set and the title copyrighted, so I'm still can't tell everybody what the title of the book is, even though I have it set in stone at this point. But if they keep an eye on my website or keep an eye out on Amazon and, you know, search my name, it eventually will come up as soon as it's out, which I'm just hoping is going to be, you know, weeks or a few months at the most here, and not, you know, another 6 months. I'm hoping it will be super duper soon, since we're almost done.
Okay, great. Well, when you publish, be sure to get a hold of me, and I'd love to have you back on my show, Randy.
I'll make sure to get you a personal signed copy. How about that?
Great. Thank you, Randy, so much. Thank you so much. Well, everyone in the Seattle area, or if you're even out of the area, it's worth the drive to come see Randy at the UFO Fest here in Yelm, Washington, both tomorrow on Saturday and on Sunday as well. He's a great guy, and he's doing courageous work, too, talking about disclosure. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Randy. It's really good to see you.
Thank you for having me, Ted. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Randy. Great. Great to have you here. And I have also in my audience here, I have some wonderful people. I'd like to bring on Scott Mowry now, who's come in. I'll have I want to have Scott on briefly, and then I'm going to bring my good friend Bob Satai come on to talk about some water issues. Anyway, Scott, hi. It's nice to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Ted. Good to be back with you again this year after you had me on your show last Galactic Wisdom Conference.
That's right. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right, Scott. Could you give everyone your website so they could look, find out more information about, you know, you give some wonderful presentations.
Yes, my website is miraclesandinspiration.com. And what I do is I'm an investigative journalist. I'm also a filmmaker. And I also do quite a lot of work, a lot of presentations. I do a regular presentation every week at the Triad Theater here in Yelm. And I also go to Seattle and Puyallup and other areas around the Puget Sound area. And tonight I'll be speaking at the UFO Festival beginning around 5:30 p.m. And got a really wonderful presentation about all of the amazing things that are happening in the world today. I'm going to do an overview of the last really 18 months of spectacular things that are happening in our world. And if you remember, Ted, when I was on your show in March, I talked about North Korea, if you remember.
You do. I do remember that.
And what did I say about...
Oh, that's right. You said that there was not going to be any war, that a peace agreement had already been worked out, and now the rest is just window dressing.
Exactly. And what did we have? We had a summit on June the 11th, 12th time frame, and President Donald Trump had this historic summit with the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. They signed a peace deal, and this is just the beginning. You're going to see eventually the reunification of North and South Korea. North Korea will no longer be any kind of a nuclear threat to the nation of Japan or any other country in the world. They're dismantling their nuclear program. The most important thing is that the strings to the deep state CIA control of North Korea have been cut. And so this is why all of this is happening right now. And this is what I told you, what happened in March. And sure enough, it did. And so I'm going to talk about a lot of other things that are in the works right now that are happening in our world. And so we're going to get a really good overview tonight, give you about what's happening, has happened over the, like I said, over the last 18 months, and all the amazing new developments, plus what's coming here in this next year. And I'm going to talk about the disclosure aspect with President Trump, and how now we see that there's a sixth branch of the military that's been formed, Space Force. I'm going to talk about that tonight. So some very, very exciting information to give tonight.
In 25 words or less, what do you see happening in the future?
25 words or less.
Oh, you can have more than 25.
Okay. I see a very positive future for humanity. I think, Ted, we're only just beginning. We're going through a very rough time right now, but when we come out at the end of this, probably into the fall, you're going to see some absolutely spectacular events taking place. We're going through a very conflicted time, but this is because we are seeing an old paradigm now coming down, and this is why there's so much chaos and divisiveness in our country. But eventually now, this is all going to start to resolve itself. You're going to see some major events take place. Arrests are going to take place. The United States is going to go through a metamorphosis, a revolution like you've never seen. It's already happening, Ted. It's just not being reported. And all that you see on the news is just divisiveness and chaos and all of this negativity. But in fact, there's a very, very positive development outcome that's coming. And I'll talk about that tonight because there's so much that is very positive about this time that we're in right now. And so we're just going through the process of purging this negativity from our world, and we've got some time yet before this is all resolved, but beginning this fall, I think you're going to see a lot of signs of very, very huge developments.
Well, I have to tell everyone, Scott, that everything you told me in March came true, was true, and so I pay attention now not that I didn't before, but you have a lot of credibility in my book as far as what's going to happen.
Well, again, I can't take credit for that, Ted, because I follow the work of QAnon, which is a new whistleblower or insider that's emerged. And you can follow Q yourself on QAnon.pub website. And he's a military intelligence insider that's providing some of the best information that's ever been given to the American people. It's inside scenes. It covers some of the world events that are happening. Q has been right about so many things, and he's predicted the North Korea outcome. So it was easy for me to say what Q has said, and that's what I basically talked about at your last event. Is I got up and I told you what Q had said, and sure enough, he was exactly right. It all came true, and I'm telling you, the North Korea situation is going to transform the entire world because we're going to remove a threat that has been used to control the world. And this now is going to result in world peace. I'm telling you, I'll give you a little hint what's next, and that's Iran. Iran is coming up, and Iran will be next. You're going to see an amazing change occur in the nation of Iran. And look at all of the fire and brimstone that President Trump is now putting out about Iran. I would not be surprised if we have a summit with Iran or a collapse of that government entirely.
He did the same thing with North Korea too, didn't he?
It's called strategy. It's called the art of war. And this is what the president and this is what our military is practicing right now is called the art of war. And I encourage everyone of your listeners to read that book. If you want to understand what's going on in the world, this is what it is. They're following the art of war principle written by probably 1,000 years ago, this book by a Chinese general named Sun Tzu, spelled T-Z-U. And this is what's being practiced. This is what's being implemented into the world now. So don't believe anything you see on the news. It's all just a movie you're watching.
Right, Scott. Well, could you give us our website again?
Yes, my website, again, is miraclesandinspiration.com. It's all one word. And again, my talk tonight is here at the UFO Festival. It will be filmed. And will be available, I think, on pay-per-view at some point. But if you're in the area, I encourage you to come down to the festival. We've got beautiful weather down here. It's a bit warm, but we have air conditioning in the tent where we'll be speaking. And there'll be a great lineup for the weekend and lots of activities for the whole family. And this UFO Festival now is in its second season. And it's really starting to take off, and they're hoping to make this an annual event here in Yelm, and one of the best UFO festivals around the country. So I encourage people to come on down.
Sure, great, Scott. Thank you so much for coming on my show today. It's really always good to see you.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you for having me.
Okay, great to see you, Scott. Really appreciate it. Well, our next guest is Bob Satiakam. Bob's a wonderful man. He's Native American, a member of the Puyallup tribe. And I want to bring both him and Michiko on briefly to talk about water issues because that's something that briefly. Bob, hi. Welcome to Out of This World Radio. I'm so happy you could be here today.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, Ted. I was listening to the program on the way in, and it sounds like we got off to a real good start, so I always appreciate an opportunity where there's a microphone and able to get the word out about our situation and the crisis of water right now. So I appreciate you having me here.
Well, absolutely. Michiko, one thing that Dr. Emoto said was that God is water or water is God. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Well, Dr. Emoto said water is God and water is life. And water is, without water, nothing can exist. And that's why water is so important. It's the most important fundamental thing.
Bob, tell me, what kinds of issues have you been working on recently? And if you could all give us maybe an update in the North Dakota situation. You know, that people were protesting against the pipeline there for many, many months several years ago, and then suddenly it disappeared from the mass media.
Yeah, that will, like, you know, you can give that credit to the military-industrial complex, you know what I'm saying? Because at that time, you know, the vets of the United States, of the love of riches, or America, was heading out there to support those water warriors and the people protecting the water at Standing Rock, Cannonball, and the surrounding areas, you know. And I think, or I feel, I quit thinking, and now I'm feeling and listening to the water, is that, you know, through the, you know, geoengineering, there was a sudden blizzard happened to come out of nowhere like that. It wasn't like blizzards before. And so it's, again, I think, what we're seeing, like our brother Scott was saying in regards to Iran, it's the, you know, the weather and climate manipulation that, you know, and that's what we experienced there in that December. You know, but what we did get out of that, though, was an apology from all those vets to the chiefs and to the people there out there at the, you know, Ocheti Shikoan and the surrounding areas like that. And so, yeah, we are here, you know. And so what I've been doing, let me kind of just start from, I was like gone away here. Where would we start? I think, like in the beginning of the program with my sister Michiko, you know, expressing and sharing about Emoto's peace project, you know, and it was us three on that one day, yeah, that we met when you come walking in, and with my sister there like that, and we was talking about the situation in Standing Rock, and it was just like all these things were coming together at that time, because I received a, I think it's comfortable to say with on this particular program that I received a download, is what it was, or a vision, if you will, and at that time things were getting a lot clearer, and I was asking my sister Michiko, I said, do I already know you? Because I was I'm a ceremonial person. Ted introduced me. My name is Robert Sataik. I am a citizen or a member of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians here near Tacoma on the Puyallup Reservation. I'm a road man, and what that means is I've been handed a staff or an altar, and so I conduct ceremony, you know, sweat lodge ceremony, a teepee, Native American church ceremony, where we use these medicines and things like that. And so I'm kind of losing myself while I was bouncing around. But I found myself in Spain. The medicine took me to Spain. Some people over the weekend, it's a ceremony that begins when the sun goes down. And we get in the teepee, and we all sit in a circle around the fire and with the medicines and singing and praying, and we don't get out until the sun comes back up, you know, and so it's pretty intense and things like that.
Incredible. So did you go to Spain on this ceremony?
Yeah, and so on one of these visits, so during the siesta on the following Monday, I'm walking through my three Navajo brothers like that, and the interpreter, and a woman came running out of one of the apartments or the building, and she shagged us down, and she was saying, she had this magazine, it was like magazine size book or whatever it was, and what she was saying was, tell this Indian guy about this book and what this is. And so, kind of backing up a little bit more, that what she saw was me working the fire, right? There's a male, female, just like with water, male, female, land, male, female, the sky, male, female, water, male. And so she was watching me work the fire like that. And there's a time at around the midnight time, they call it midnight water, and that's when the fire chief, that was myself that night, gets the opportunity to roll a pipe or roll a smoke, and then we use that smoke and we pray, and then we use it to smudge the pail of water for the participants in the ceremony. And so she was moved, and although she didn't speak English, she understood through the inflection of my prayer that night. And when I pray with water, I see it, you know, I always like, Michiko, I ask for forgiveness, you know, I try to be as humble as possible with that element, whether it's a drop or a pool or a pail. as I'm praying, I want that water, that vessel to just really start vibrating, you know, the frequency and the vibration to elevate it to its highest pitch, you know, like that. So when we ingest that, the first medicine, it changes. We get that healing. And so she felt that. And then she came out and shared this magazine. It was I'm looking at it, and it was in Spanish. And I've seen these images of I thought they were snowflakes at first, you know. Yeah, brrr, looking through it. And then I started seeing snowflakes that looked like the end of a smoked cigarette filter. And I'm like, what? Now what is going on here? And I said, that looks like feelings to me. You know, the beautiful ones, I go, that must be love or gratitude or something beautiful like that. And then somebody must be thinking naughty or bad stuff. And she said, I looked on the back, and it was this image of Dr. Emoto. And I said, this guy from Japan, this Japanese fella, this guy, he gets it. He understands what it is about, and that it is frequency and vibration, rhythm and pattern, and it does have a conscience, and that it does alter and change people, that it is God, that it is the source, that it is energy, you know, that everybody, everyone, and everything needs, not wants, needs water, you know what I'm saying? And so I said, maybe one day I'll meet this gentleman, this Japanese doctor who found and proved what I've been saying to people. And so then flash forward years, maybe 5-6 years, I was doing a prayer down at Evergreen College, and I didn't know that who was going to be there. They just asked me to say a prayer and bless it up and start this whatever they had down there, this evening event. And I remember seeing a book. I said, it was just like that magazine that I seen in Spain. And then I kind of like, you know, this place was packed and crowded, you know, and I flipped it over and I said, hey, there's that snowflake again, you know, and this must be that guy. I should get the book. And I got called up there. And then as I was about to utter my prayer, I was like, hey, thank you for having me, blah, 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 introducing myself. And it's good to be here. And I want to acknowledge the elements, you know, the land that we're on and the air that we're breathing and the water, that the medicine that we're using. And I looked to my right, like I'm looking to you right now. And I was like, hey. And so I stopped, you know, I just stopped right there, and I told the audience, I said, you know, we've all prayed, we've all been at school, oh God, help me through this test and I'll change my life. But we all prayed, but do you give gratitude when the prayer comes to fruition, when you what you've cried for, what you prayed for, when it comes to fruition, do you stop and put as much energy into thanking water or thanking God for that healing or for that blessing? You know, and so I looked over there and I said that I think I know that guy, you know, and so that I told the people, I said, I want to, and they called him over, and then through the interpreter, which I thought was her, Michiko, she says, no, it wasn't me, but it was somebody else. I said, I shared what I just shared with all your listeners there, and sure enough, he walked over to me.
And that was Dr. Emoto?
That was Dr. Emoto, and I said, you know, because I'm always saying thoughts become things. Careful what you pray for. Careful what you say. Thoughts become things. And sure enough, you know, and through the interpreter, I shared that story. And I said, you know, here it is, a full circle. And I was trying to remind our audience that, you know, when things do come, when the water does give you what you prayed for, you know, stop and give that gratitude. And I was able to give Dr. Emoto a handshake. And then I was able to give him a hug, a quick hug. And then I had my eagle wing with me. And I was able to say a prayer with him bless him up like that, you know, and he blessed me with a handshake and a hug. And so I just wanted to share that before we, you know, got into the conversation deeper, is that it was water. It was a confluence on that day that brought us together. It was Standing Rock somehow away that brought us together, but it was the creator, the maker, the source, God, water, that brought us three together somehow, some way, wasn't it? It was no coincidence. It was already set and happening.
Yeah. Professor Einstein has said that God doesn't play with dice, and we live in a deterministic universe where our thoughts do create the kind of reality that we want.
Yeah, for real. You know what? So what became of that? Like I said, when we first met up, I received like this download. And I think this is the program to mention something like that on, is that you have an audience with a I don't want to say an open mind, but more of an open heart. You know, and they're receiving that vision of what it. What it will take here. You know, Scott was mentioning, and the other guests were mentioning these atrocities that are occurring, or these extremes that are occurring here on planet Earth, you know, and it's all connected somehow, some way, you know, and people can't go around whack-a-moling trying to, you know, put out this fire or put out that fire, because we're stuck with fighting for rights, right? This is a warring nation, you know, that's what we're taught, you know, since we're little kids, you know, that this is a warring nation, and it's through that way, right through might. And so it's a, I'm forgetting what I'm saying here, but it was this download, and what it was the water. For me, it was the water that was telling me, you know, that we don't have the time on this planet. This planet does not have that time to play around. My brother was talking about Iran, you know, and that's kind of like the final prophecy right there. If we got Iran in the thing, you know, everything is suspect right now. Just about everything you see and you hear in your wake is suspect. So we need, I feel, as not a human being, but as a spiritual and human being, right? You know, we need to seek out and find and grab right away what is real, you know, and what is real, you know. People say, you know, I told my sonny boy, I said, see that blue stuff, one day we're going to sell that to you. And people, he's like looking at, you mean the sky? I said, they call it that, or they call it the air, or they call it the wind, or the breeze, or something like that. Me, I know it as oxygen, you know. That's real. For this machine to stay here on this planet, you know, I need that oxygen, you know, and I need that water, you know, and I need that fire, that solar heat, that solar light, right? And I need this mother, this earth, you know, and anything else after that is pretty much, you know, just luxury or privilege or choice, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel that we are in this time now that it's not about doing these whack-a-mole things, you know, because like I was saying, we're a warring nation, so people are fighting for rights right now. And so, we need more water rights, you know, and the needle stays quo. We need more these rights. We need more native rights. We need more gay rights. We need more chair rights or police rights. And I said, no, what this planet, my mother needs is responsibility, not rights. Nobody fights for responsibility. We try to shirk it since we've been a young kid, and somebody says, hey, son, now it's time to mow the lawn. How many times do you get a whooping for not mowing that lawn, you know? So we don't want the responsibility, but it will be responsibility that does save humanity, that understands that it is all about the water. You save the water. You protect the water. And I'm talking about the oceans that you cry and that you sweat, and I'm talking about the water, the rivers and the lakes and the streams that you drink to replenish and make an ocean like that, right? You know, and yeah, so I don't know. I'm just kind of, I'll ramble, bro, and I'll get lost, and I'll keep rambling. So if you got some questions.
I do have a question for you, Bob, and I'm so glad that you're here today. As you take a drink of water, the chairman of Nestle several months ago purchased, I think it was Nestle and Monsanto. I'm pretty sure it was Nestle. They purchased a huge area, Paraguay and Uruguay, yeah, and also part of Brazil as well, this huge watershed. Right. And this guy has said before that people don't have a right to water. That water is for sale like any other commodity on this planet. I disagree with him, but I'd love your thoughts.
Yeah, I completely and utterly disagree with the way he thinks and the way that he feels. These are gifts from the highest one, you know, the King of Kings, the Almighty, the whoever created it, whatever created it, right? Gifted. You know, there was a time when this planet was void in space, just floating around after it was created, because the Creator is creating constantly. There was a time when the Creator came back with his shushub, or a sacred staff, and tapped this orb, this water balloon called Earth now, and said, you have a purpose to serve. You know, I put these things in and on you to provide for life. I will put another orb called the sun. This will be the fire. You know, these things all came together like that. And so you'll need the air and the oxygen for the fish and the winged ones, the four-legged, the two-legged, the creepy crawlies to breathe with. The water needs to breathe too. The fire needs to breathe. So, you know, all these things were gifts from the Creator. You know, God isn't short on cash. The Creator isn't short on cash, and so these are all free things that that people should stand up and step up and speak up for. You know, that's this country again. Where fear, this is built on fear, right? Built on war. Since the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the Mayflower, since they were lost and found trespassing on our mountains, beaches, and in the forests, and then on the prairies, right? Like that, it's been about war and discomfort and dysfunction and dis-ease and irresponsibility. And so what this download was about the water is like, we can't go around whack-a-moling and, hey, now we got to you know, stop this war, or stop that battle, or stop these politics, or stop that, the economy from failing, all these fake things. It's time to get real. It's going to come down to the people that understand what water is. Like Michiko said, it is God. It is the creator. It is the giver of all life and the maker of all things. You know, everybody and everyone and everything on this planet doesn't want water. It needs water. It needs fresh, good, clean water, right? Right temperature, right acidification, right salinity, all these the pH balance, all these things that have been compromised by civilization, you know, by the system. And so that what's been difficult about getting this message out about this download and what could be done and what should be done, or I should say what is going to be done, and we can all be a part of it, because like your guest before was saying, that it is coming, you know, we are coming to that time, because you need habitat, right? The cryo system goes down, we go, right? The biosphere goes down, we go, right? Oceans go, we go. And so like, I've been ramping up my speech the last 2 years, and people are like, you know, why are you going so crazy like Chicken Little? I said, because I'm the person of the water. I'm Puyallup. I'm salmon people. Salmon's on the extinction list, right? They're shutting down fisheries. I am one of the same. Those fish go, I go. There's a orca whale in what they call the Puget Sound, or what we call the Wolch, anyway, in this inlet waters, the Salish Sea. This orca has been carrying her baby around her calf that passed away the last 3 days. These are signs. New Zealand, these pilot whales and these other whales that are beaching themselves, these are silent protests. This isn't just like one generation of whales. All the young ones died, or all the old ones died. These are silent protests. They're mammals. They can breathe through their blowholes. And so they've chosen to come out of the water onto the beaches and saying, hey, the Navy and its the constant search for these fossil fuels and its sonar is destroying and ruining our ears and our sonar and our habitat and our home place, along with the plastics.
Bob, for people living outside the area, tell us about the instance of, what did you say, a whale? Its calf died in Puget Sound here near Tacoma?
Yeah, what they call an orca or the killer whale. And, you know, that's the people just up from where my reservation is, the Tulalip people, they are of the killer whale. And these pods have just been decimated and declined nearly down to nothing. And these are tall tale signs, right, of what is going on. You know, if you really look and see these strands or the fabrics of life, you know, whether they're the invisible ones or these obvious ones like the killer whale or this orca, it is signaling us. And hey, where is our food? Where is our food at? The salmon, they eat the salmon. What do the salmon eat? Salmon eat the herring. And what the herring eat is the little guys. And so we're seeing these algae blooms and the temperature heating up, you know, the plastics and, you know, and then the constant banging of, here in the Salish Sea, if you look at it in Washington State, there's a water that comes in from the ocean all the way into the state, into the, like a third of the state. And so these ships that come in, these tankers that come in, Those are huge sounds, huge vibrations that are felt by these very sensitive animals that have known this place since time immemorial. And so, you know, plus all the fuels. And, you know, and another thing that I just want to add, too, is maybe it's the, like what decimated us at Indian people is the choo-choo, the iron horse. Oh, yeah. It was when Isaac Stevens came here, it was sent here out of West Point, and that Mexican War sent up here to bring that choo-choo train here, to survey and bring that choo-choo train. And if you look, if there's listeners here in the Puget Sound area, you look along that Puget Sound, you'll see that railroad that goes right along the coastline. You know, nowadays we're hearing about when it rains here, but that super sledge that kills almost instantly, you know, the runoff on the streets when it rains. If nobody's thought about the constant ka-kunk, 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 the oil, the diesel, the coal that's been transported for over 100 years now. You know what I'm saying? Built with that creosote ties. So when that rains, you know, not only the noise pollution, but the pollution itself, you know, from those deadly chemicals that they leach into the Puget Sound. And what people think when the tide goes in and out is that, hey, it goes on the other side of the world. It's just like a bowl, right? It doesn't completely drain out, you know. And so we've really taken advantage through the privilege of, you know, the abundance that we've had. This used to be a thriving planet at one time. You know, and now look what we're looking at. And, you know, we can't barely look past our screens, you know, these supercomputers that were, you know, that are keeping monitor of us like that. But at any rate, we're not seeing what life really is, you know, what it really is about. There is a beauty to the rhythm and pattern of this life. And it's not all paved. It's not all in the store. And it all can't not be bought, you know. And you know what, part of that vision or that download, Ted, was when I was a national delegate for Bernie Sanders, and I was, for some reason, got in a plane and ended up in Philadelphia for this national convention. Yada, yada, yada. It's just a show. It's just a fake show, you know. But what I saw there, Ted, was the system. The system. Yeah. Minecraft, Legos, yeah. Ready-made universe, ready-made environment, ready-made this and that. And so it's like everything was brick in Philadelphia, right, except for the doors on their cellar sink. But what I said, why didn't they tell me about who made all these bricks, you know? And then there was these cobblestones. I'm like, they never told me about. I was like, dang, these are the other, like, what man had the authority over another man to tell him to make these huge stones into little squares and make a road? And I was like, oh. And then I looked again, and somebody goes, man, the Revolutionary War and all these things, Ben Franklin, all these people were here. I'm like, they brought this system here. This was the capital of, and, you know, what they call America, right? It's just amore rica, yeah, that's the love of riches. And so I was thinking, that disconnects the people. This was the model for cities, the model for the manifest destiny, right? And these types of the eminent domains. And so what I was seeing was what was the system in action. Like the trees became the buildings, right? That there's your trees now. And then the plazas were the new ground. But what it does is it stops the vibration from our mother, this planet.
Oh, really?
When you put a cement down or a brick down or this asphalt road, you're disconnected from the constant healing and blessing vibrations of Earth, right? That's resonating. So it affects what you see. So if it affects what you see, that means it affects what you think. And if it affects what you think, it affects how you feel. And so it affects how you feel. It affects how you speak, do behave, and act.
Do the buildings themselves separate humanity from Mother Earth, making it easier for humanity, for example, to exploit the planet?
I think so.
They're not connected with it?
You're never connected, so you don't have that. You know, I was going to say, we all have empathy, but I think the ones that are causing a lot of this might be void of it. But I think maybe it doesn't get brought out or dusted off or utilized in the being itself. Because you think about that, you know, the Chicago's and, you know, the Detroit, these concrete jungles like that. I did a work a couple of years back with National Geographic up there at the Crescent Lake, which is out there in the Olympic National Forest. And they brought 15 students from Houston, from New York, from Boston, all these major cities like that. And they SeaTac to that lake. Huh. And they tried to, the National Geographic said, you know, we want you to introduce yourself and express where they're at. And now, for the first 10, 15 minutes, all I saw was like fluoride stairs, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, the fluoridated water stairs.
Okay. Right. They're seeing where they're at. They're feeling the temperature.
Right.
They're seeing other people seeing them where they're at, but they have no idea where they're at and what reality this is. What is that tree? I've only read about it. What is this water, this lake? I've only read about it. And so
Wow. It
was an eye-opener. Yeah.
You know the history of fluoride.
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah, so this just leaked out. I was watching this video, too, about the EPA and that, was it the King River or that? It's down there in the southwest where the EPA dug out that hole and let that from the King gold mine, that sludge that turned the whole river from this pristine green river in Durango, Colorado, and it turned it to a bright gold overnight like that, you know, destroying the whole river system like that. Fluoride, yeah, it's definitely not good. You know, I was a suspect too, because right before I came on the program with you, I was running a little bit low on water. I had this alkaline stick that's supposed to take about the poisons and contaminants and toxins out of the things like that. And I filled it up with the water in the hall. I said, my concern was, not a fear, but a concern was this going to lower my consciousness before I go on the air with Ted? And I think it had an effect because I was like kind of scrambling around. Where do we begin our conversation with? And so, you know, the importance of water.
Well, fluoridation has an interesting history, Bob. It was first instituted by Adolf Hitler in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And it was done that way to create a docile, hardworking, but yet docile and subservient population, which is perfect for Herr Hitler. And after the war, the United States brought over between 8 to 10,000 Nazi scientists to establish our intelligence agencies here, as well as our scientific community, for which helped create NASA.
The paperclip
operation. And after that, 70%, since that time, 70% of the municipal water supplies in the United States have been fluoridated. And it's basically like drinking poison. They do it under the cover of saying it's good for teeth, and many dentists say it's the benefits of drinking fluoride. For one thing, you don't drink fluoride for your teeth. You may have a fluoride treatment for your teeth, but the dentist will never tell you to drink it. So drinking it actually shuts down your pineal gland and makes you kind of like a working zombie. So if you do have fluoridated water, or if you live in an area that has fluoridated water, I highly recommend you get a water filter and simply just drink filtered water. And you can't trust the bottling companies either, because many of them are owned by Nestle. Nestle, for example, owns Arrowhead Water, which is fluoridated water. And in this state, Washington State, that company's not required to list fluoride on the bottled water, even though it's considered a neurotoxin by the EPA and harmful and carcinogenic.
Yeah, you know, these banksters and profiteers and privateers and these corporations like that, you know, that's what the vision was. It says, if I get to the meat of my conversation, was it is about ending bottling God or your granddaughters or your grandmother for profit. You know, I ask people, would you put your grandmother in this plastic bottle? Would you put your granddaughter in this plastic bottle? And of course, they say no. I said, why do you put God in the bottle? Why do you buy that, you know, which is free? Is it through, because was it 25? 30 years ago, when we first started seeing that, you know, people with Avion or the Perrier, and in the 80s, I think it was, and we would see people drinking, you know, they're twisting that top off, drinking. We were saying that. You would have to be stupid, crazy, lazy, out of your mind, or something other than right to go and buy a bottle of water.
Right. Yeah.
And here we are, you know, and then it's in the oceans and things like that. So what I'm trying to tell people is, like, when I say, would you put your granddaughters, because that's the 7 generations out, right, that we protect. And when I say your grandma, would you put your grandmother? That's the 7 generations that got us here to this afternoon. So why would you put water in a bottle? Water belongs in the earth, on the earth, and in the sky. When you drink a bottle of water, you're drinking a water that has been taken from its own watershed. This is the residential schools, the boarding schools that the Native American and this government put us under. We're still feeling the, quote, ripple effects of this genocide movement like that. And so that's what we're doing with water. When I ask people around here, they're drinking Fiji water. I said, how do you feel about that, drinking that Fiji water, you know? And, you know, they give you that fluoride stare, I guess. At any rate, you know, is that water is your feelings. Am I right, you know? It's all about the vibration. So when somebody says maybe a curse word or something harsh to you, you know, it changes how you feel, right? That, or if somebody says, I love you like that, it changes how you feel. So it is your feelings like that. And the Creator sends your messages to you, you know, through your heart, right? Your medicine wheel. At any rate, what I'm trying to say is that when we buy a bottle of water, maybe it's from Fiji or somewhere else, you're drinking not healthy water, not better water. You're drinking fear. You're drinking anger. You're drinking resentment. You're drinking anything that's other than healthy. I ask people, have you seen anybody get out of jail? Have you been to jail? How did you feel when you were in jail? Was it my fault? I've been victimized. It's wrong. You're angry. You're scared. You're confused. You're lonely. You're tired. All these things that are the enemy. And so when they took away our children's, our Indian children's, how do you think that made the family feel? So when you steal water from a watershed and then you put it in a bottle and then you put it in the dark and you wrap it in plastic and you put it on a semi or in a ship, in a tanker or a container, then you go sell it like a slave on a grocery shelf, it has a feeling. And then we go out and drink it, not unknowingly, because we've been drinking fluoridated water like you mentioned. How do you that's why everything is fine, huh, Ted? If you ask anybody, hey, how you doing today? Fine. How's it going? Fine. How are things going? Fine. If everything's fine, then why is the planet on fire? You know what I'm saying? No, it's not fine, you know, and so we're at this fear-based level. And that when I talk about, you know, confused, angry, lonely, tired, you know, doubtful, that is the enemy. The opposite of that is water, right? Am I right? That is the Creator. And so it's like it is. So when we talked about Nestle's here, is the vision or the download is that as humanity, we need to collectively come together and Michiko shared an Emoto teaching with me, I would go around and say, it's always that individual or that 10% that runs it for the rest of us. It's always that individual or that 10% that runs it for the rest. And she says, Dr. Emoto said, it's always an individual or 10% that makes it better or good for us. You were in that circle when she shared that with me, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm out after, is get the 10% as the planet is making room for 9 billion inhabitants here with a finite resources and finite habitat. And so we can't just throw all our effort into saving habitat or saving salmon or saving a whale or saving this. It's all about the water for me right now. You know, we do that. And so I've been making these contacts, and I have different pods around the planet right now that we're working towards a date. And I think that's somewhere in March, because in the Middle East, that's like their new year over there. So it's right around Earth Day, I think, and a Water Day on March 22nd, where you'll hear about this. There'll be a planet, a collective global movement and stop. And that'll be the opportunity for us to get out of the minds, to think for our, and put a space in there, selves, capitalize that S, self and selves, not selves. I don't know what a self is, but a self and selves, an opportunity for us to stand there, like I said, through ceremony. I've seen dis-ease, dysfunction, and discomfort walk in, and then by morning time it walk out, ease, comfort, and functionality. I've seen cancer walk in, and people walk out healed. You know, I've seen these things, and so the water was saying that this planet needs that kind of love and attention. And it's not a one-day global thing, because we saw after Trump got the woman around the world in the billions, I think, got together around the planet and took to the streets. And then it was the Muslims, and after that, and then the immigrants that stuck at the airport. So people filled to the streets, but that they fill in spite, or they fill in anger or in protest. That's all the enemy, right? So they fill the streets in enemy's name. So we had the choice on that day to fill these streets by the millions and follow these water lines, you know, for love. What is love? Love is water, right? Because water is God. And so, but it's not a global one-day thing. Us Indian people, we fast from food and we fast from water for 4 days. On that fifth day, when they offer us water, we don't sit there and make a water fight and pour it all over ourselves and gulp it down. We just take barely a sip, because you've learned the importance of water. You've learned its intricacies. It's taught you about its properties. You know, not only just, hey, it tastes good and I pee it out. You know, it rebuilds. It is life, you know. And so after 4 days, you have this heightened appreciation for the gift of life. And so we're putting together this, it's like a human necklace. When you sit in a circle, the electromagnetic charge from our hearts, from my left shoulder, goes all the way around to the people sitting in this circle and comes back to me. So the indigenous, it's a call out to the indigenous people here on this planet that are on these seven different islands floating around here in this, or on this big old, you know, water balloon here. And so it's a, as there's this comedian, Charlie Hill, he says, well, you know, give it back to the natives. You know, we got the manual. We got the handy book to Earth, like that. And so through the prophecies of the eagle landing on the moon, there's two eagle feathers. So we've already landed on the moon. And then it was about there's a place in Canyon de Chelly, Spider Rock, and that's all those designs on conscious you see. So she came out and created this Ethernet or internet, and that's spider, and that's a medicine. So everybody's getting what they want, right? It's not real, right, like that. So, but these prophecies keep coming to pass, and there's the condor and the eagle, and the south and north coming together in trade. And so now we are in that where the meek inherits the earth. And we're not 97-pound weaklings. Meek is meaning those that held the fire, held the water and earth, and it's these things sacred in the ceremonies. And that's why it'll take the black-haired, brown-skinned, brown-eyed people, the people of earth, not people of God. People of God feed on the children of earth. And so we'll be showing the children of God how to pray with the children of earth via the water. We're down at that artesian well the other day, a couple of years back, when I were presented this stuff, and I told people to bring those cases of water down to the artesian well. And there was a time during that prayer where I said, pull out that water bottle, hold it next to your heart. And I told everybody in that moment, that water bottle knows everything about you, the good and the bad. And there was a time in there I said, now we're going to pour it out. And the confused look I saw on people, like, we're going to do what? That was the same confused look they had when they said, we're going to bring water to the artesian well. And I said, now we're going to pour it out. And so, you know, one kind of started doing it. I said, whoa, bend down at your knees and let it out. Don't pour it out like that, you know. And then they started begrudgingly started pouring out their bottled water or their prophets, you know. And, And I took that moment to say, hey, who here thinks they're wasting water? Huh. And they all, you know, well, we are, aren't we? And I said, what makes you think that? It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to us, right? Not to them. To us. It's a gift from God. And so it belongs on the earth, in the earth, and in the water. It's a cycle. So now when you see the sky, it's like that. Because that anesthesia they put in there. So the sky is like drunk and woozy right now. It's the systems are broken because it doesn't have the weight of the water. Water has memory. We put it back from Fiji water. I pour it here. It'll find its way back to Fiji and its watershed. So we need to restore the systems. And then Mother Earth is like given 4 pints of blood. Of course she's drunk and woozy and needs more than orange juice and crackers. She needs the weight of the world. 1 pallet of water is 2,417 pounds. Makes a difference. Go to a grocery store. They have a small lake in reserve in their storage behind those flappy doors before they bring them out to the shelf. There's a small lake. Go down the street. There's another one, a small lake. It belongs back in the sky. It belongs on earth like that. And so there'll be a time here, by the start of spring next year, we'll have that opportunity to gather around planet Earth and stand up for what is right. You know, and that is the water like that. And so that's what I've been busy doing. Besides the canoe journey that's coming here, so I want to invite all your listeners too, that the canoes, over 100, probably 110 canoes, chaputs, will be landing here into the Tacoma area, the Puyallup lands and waters. We're going to be hosting 110 canoes, which is anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 people. It'll be all week long, July 28th to August 4th. Please come and be a visitor on my land and to my waters in a good way like that. No alcohol, no drugs, and no violence. It's a great place to come from those 4 different directions and honor yourself, your water, and your family in a good way like that. So I mean, I really appreciate you too, Ted, for allowing me to freestyle a little bit and to be all over the place. You know, there is a method to my madness, and so I just appreciate you giving me a little bit of tether today.
Well, Bob,
take
you got
the microphone.
Oh yeah. Bob, you got a great heart, and I know you truly care about this planet, and you know how important water is to the future of this earth. And I think we've really acted irresponsibly in the past with water pollution and not giving water the respect that we should give it. You know, as Dr. Emoto used to say, like 80% of what our bodies are 70% water, and the earth is also 70% water. So we are a reflection of this planet. One of the things that people should realize too is that Michiko Hayashi's work is very important because she does what's called Hado treatments for people. And she will adjust a person's vibration with water to help with any spiritual or physical condition. And she's very good at it, by the way. If you'd like a Hado treatment this weekend, she'll be available through next Tuesday. Just give me a call. My phone number is 509-750-9793, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is very minimal. It's only $25, and she'll be happy to program some water for you to help you feel better. Bob, what do you think is going to happen in the future? We've got about 2 minutes left, and I want you to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
What's going to happen in the future is I think we'll see bigger extreme events happen more often, more frequently. Anytime you hear the words could, should, may, might, if, when it comes to academia and media trying to keep you pacified through the conditions that you see with your own eyes, you know, the earth opening up with all the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the flooding, and the, now the uncontrolled fires like that. And so it's like, it is all about the water, you know. And so let's use that energy and get out of that fear-based mode like that. You know, let's hotto ourselves up like that and elevate our vibration like that. And so for me, it is all about the water and nothing else. The oceans and seas that you cry and sweat, and the river streams and dreams and lakes that you drink to reconcile and repair your body.
Wonderful. Bob, that was Bob Satayakin. Thank you so much for coming on my show today, Bob. You're a great guy, and I really enjoy your energy. We'll be, 1 week from today, we'll be having Simon Parks on during the first hour, and then the second hour, we have a very special guest who's been in direct contact with many of the masters of the Hollow Earth at Mount Shasta. And with that, friends, I hope you have a really beautiful and happy day. And Eric, if you could play the water song now to wrap up this hour of Out of This World, and I hope everyone has a really out of this world weekend. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening today. Bye-bye, and have a beautiful weekend.